today on Real Radio.
Well, we have separate accounts. We have separate vacations. We have separate things. You have separate lives. Maybe the only thing united is that you have a tax deduction. What is this? You are to be under the skin of one another. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's terrifying. It's wonderful. It's difficult. It's fantastic. It's called love, people.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4. The Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living transcends throughout the ages. He is one of our greatest examples of how to live a holy life, have godly influence, while submitting to human authority. In part 4 of chapter 3, we'll see how the beauty of a Christian woman is second to none. There is a divine attractiveness to the woman of God. A lot of Christian women today, however, well, they're either insecure or intimidated by the world's standards of beauty. But beauty, it's only skin deep. What's hidden in a woman's heart and the loveliness of her gentle and quiet spirit is really what's precious to God. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Christian husband's prayer life is directly linked to his relationship with his wife. He's to love her, honor her, and respect her, and use his position of authority in a kind of a gentle way. And now in his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That is a great thing to have a plaque made in your house as a Christian couple. Wow. And so the Bible here says Sarah obeyed Abraham. Look, please don't think that the word means Abraham said, jump, and she jumped. Sit down, she said, roll over. That's not what it means. It means, it's beautiful. It means that Sarah submitted to the fact of Abraham's office or position. Listen up, everybody. It means that Abraham honored the position, the creation of the husband. Do you think Sarah and Abraham ever had an argument? It means that she, yeah, thank you, Hagar. That did, boy, they almost had a knockdown, drag out one over that one, didn't they? But it means that in the midst of disagreement and argument, Sarah is honoring the place and the position of the husband. For example, in the moment, Abraham might have been a real ding-dong, but she was being submissive past, are you with me? Are you tracking? Over Abraham to the office of God, having created the place of a husband, the place of a governor, or the place of a president. Do you know what you're supposed to do as an American? Do you know that? We've lost it. Our country's lost its mind. Did you know that no matter who the person is in any office of authority, according to civility and the English language and the foundations of our government, no matter who they are, you are supposed to show them respect for the sake of the office, which is longer, more enduring than the person in it. Do you get that? We're all supposed to do this. If an officer pulls you over and you know him because he's on the soccer team and he's a real ding-dong, you submit to him because he's an officer, not because he's one of the team members. Are you with me? This is human life. Sarah, the Bible is saying, she submitted to Abraham because of the office of God having created the place of the husband. It's a place of authority. Hey, don't leave the building yet. Hang on. It's a place of authority. It's a place of position. We should ask the question in a moment, how or why? The Bible says Sarah called Abraham Lord. Now, listen. We don't do that in our culture. I mean, Lisa does, but I know most of you don't. But I'm joking. But in that culture, it was a term of endearment and appreciation, kindness. And, you know, Lisa's name is actually Elizabeth, and so we love England and all that stuff. So there's times when I'll say, you know, Queen Elizabeth. Or I'll say, would you like to have some tea, my lady? And we laugh, we joke about that, you know. But you know what I mean. So, but in that ancient world, it meant, Abraham, my liege, my darling, my head, the provider, the one. Dr. Wiersbe again says it and puts it this way. In our world today, our culture is such that calling your husband Lord would be a bit odd. It has been God's design that since the beginning of time and throughout the ages, listen, every wife ought to be able to call her husband Lord. Did you hear that? You don't call your husband Lord, but he should be treating you in such a way that if you did, or you should be able to, because he's so good to you. And all the women said, amen. That was your moment, girls. You should have jumped on that one. He should be so good to you because you are such high value. And he recognized it, Christian husband or not, that you ought to be able to call him or say or think, I could call him Lord. I just had a couple right before first service basically tell me that out front with the revival that their marriage has had. The final thing is this. Verse 7, this is remarkable. Hang on to your seats. It's God's desire for the two of you to love one another unto the end. And when we talk about the end, look what it entails. Verse 7, husbands, guys, listen up. 6 verses are dedicated to the woman. Why? Because the women had no rights in those days. The women had no hope. The women had no future. So 6 verses tell the woman all about her hope, all about her future, and all about her value. 1 verse to the man, and it's a big one. And I want you guys to watch the subtle shift. You may not pick up on it, so look at it really hard. Husbands, likewise. In other words, husbands, the women have been given this direction from the Lord. All right, guys, this is what God wants for you, is what Peter's saying. Number 1, 5 things you're going to hear about. Number 1, dwell with them. Dwell. The word dwell means this. Listen, it means, and some of you super spiritual people are not going to like this. It means to be in the same sack. It means to be, you know, you put the sack races where you put one foot in the other with your friend and you run down the hill or up the hill. You know, that whatever that game is called. Three-legged race. To be in the same sack. In other words, cooperation. To be at the same seat. To be in the same room together. Listen up. To be in or around one another. Listen to this. The word dwell means in Greek to be aware of the other's proximity to yourself. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, you are to know, according to this word, always where your husband and where your wife is, if it's in the bedroom or if it's in the world. Why? You're one flesh. You're one person before God. You're so tight before God that way. Let me show you on the screens what it is not. This is what it's not. Now, I flubbed it up. I had a photo of couples in nice restaurants. Have you not seen this? They go, they're going to spend $300 at some high-end restaurant, you know, celebrating their anniversary, and you see them with the candles burning and the violinist playing, and they're on their phone. They're both on their phone. And then they wonder why their marriage is falling apart. And then they wonder why they don't know each other. The Bible, isn't the Bible amazing? 2,000 years ago, the Bible said, this is what a husband and a wife need to be like in marriage. He, she needs to know the proximity of where he or she is, body, soul, and spirit. But we take separate vacations. That's weird. You're opening yourself up to destruction. Well, we have separate accounts. We have separate vacations. We have separate things. You have separate lives. Maybe the only thing united is that you have a tax deduction. What is this? It's not. It's You are to be under the skin of one another. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's terrifying. It's wonderful. It's difficult. It's fantastic. It's called love, people. And the young generation today thinks it's all about feelings and movies. It's about cleaning up the vomit of the one that you love when they're sick or have the flu. It's about sticking it through to the end, all the way to the end. And you look back over the years and you go, man, we made it over that. We made it through that. We made it through that thing. Remember that? Remember this sickness? Remember that disease? Remember that financial breakdown? Remember that blessing? Remember that trip? And you get older and you look back. And man, we were talking about time the other day. Lisa quoted somebody. It was awesome. It was one of those mic drop moments where she said, yeah, somebody said regarding time that the days are long, but the years are short. Don't you know that? I know that now. Where did it all go? Where did it happen? How did it happen? God wants to see you through all the way to the end, church. And the Bible says to do that, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with what? So dwell is number one. Number two is understanding. I believe this is impossible without God. The word understanding here is the Greek word gnosis. It's rooted in the original Greek word gnosis, and it means this, to learn, to perceive. So husbands, listen, learn about your wife, perceive your wife, to come to know by experience, specifically your wife. Knowing, it means to come to that place of being under her skin or anticipating her thoughts. I cannot do that without God's help. I don't think any man can. That's the thing that God can do. And it's a very powerful thing. I want to read you this quote from a commentator. The understanding Peter teaches us here includes any knowledge that would be beneficial to the husband-wife relationship. Knowledge of God's purpose and principles for marriage. A husband who loves according to such knowledge will greatly enrich his marriage relationship. Yet such knowledge can only be gained through the regular study of God's word and regular, unhurried times of private fellowship together and intimacy as a husband and a wife. Powerful statement. He goes on, verse 7, to say, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. The word honor here is the word, again, to be high valued in price, greatly cherished. It's repeated to the husband of her great worth and value. The Bible says, you want your wife to be a blessing to you, honor her. We have to work at that. It's not that we don't honor our wives. We're often easily distracted, or we think. Again, the two differences. You know, I talked about that car. You would never take that car on a dirt track. Think about your wife being like that car or a Ferrari. Men are like F-150 Ford pickups. Women are like Ferraris. Listen, both are automobiles, but they're different. We're that way. Instead of fighting one another, we need to figure out who each other really is and make it work. And make it work. How do you do that? Listen, I wrote a few things down. Does your wife or does your husband, but in the context, it's husbands. Let's pick on the husbands. Let's pick on me for a moment. Does she like quiet Saturday mornings? Well, if she does, make it happen. In fact, all the men in here, when I make a statement, say out loud, make it happen. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So does she like quiet Saturday mornings?
Make it happen.
Does she like walking at the beach?
Make it happen.
Oh, here's one. I need to say this one really loud. Does she like ice cream with pretzels in bed? Make it happen. Lisa loves ice cream with pretzels in bed. Have you ever had that? Oh, you've not. Have you ever taken French fries and dipped them in a milkshake? You know what? You don't know nothing. You'd have nothing. You don't know. You say, yeah, I don't like pretzels. I don't like ice cream. I don't like the beach, and I don't like Saturday mornings. We're not asking you, guys. Does she like it? Make it. One guy. Okay, you're not done yet, guys. Does she like the trash to go out before having to ask you? Does she like it when you put the toilet seat down? Does she like just to have you sit and listen to her talk? Kill me dead. That's one of the hardest ones. That's hard. Pray for me. Pray. It's like, I love my wife, but that's hard work. Are you with me? All the men said, we have got to work at that. I like Lisa doing things with me. She wants me to listen to what she has to say. Both are right. Both are correct. And there's a good chance that all of us have a hard time with either one of those things on either side of the fence. What's this called? Marriage. Make it work. Make it happen. God's on your side to bless your marriage and to bless your home. And the bottom line is this, it ends with this crescendo of glory. Verse 7, and as being heirs together, your wife is going to be in heaven. Ooh, listen, your wife is going to be in heaven with you as a joint heir, a co-heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the subtlety. I wonder if you caught it. He's been speaking to the women about how to love an unsaved man into the kingdom. Then he goes to verse 7, and there's no doubt about it, Peter now is speaking to the saved men of the Christian church in that day. But you can't read it without seeing that he's talking about unsaved men for the first 6 verses, and then gives instruction in verse 7 to men who are saved. This is an amazing double-barrel answer. It addresses both men. The man who was not saved, who gets saved from the faithful woman of verses 1-6. And it addresses the man who was saved after he hears verses 1-6. He would ask the question, well, what's of me? I'm a Christian. And Peter answers him. Remember this. Your wife's going to be with you in heaven. She's going to be a recipient of the grace of life also. That's an incredible thing because women were not allowed to own anything in those days. And the Bible turns right around 21 centuries ago and says, the wife, the woman has equal access under the grace of God to everything. Think of that. We're spoiled in our culture. Women's rights, where'd they come from? Right there in the Bible. Prior to Jesus Christ introducing the value of people, the ancient world, women were property. They couldn't own anything, and they had no community value in the world. We don't even know that. We're not even aware of that. Jesus elevates the value of the woman and the wife. And the Bible says, remember, she's going to be co-heirs with you in heaven. And then look at, we end with this. Why? What's the motivation? Wow. He says, so that your prayers are not hindered. What does this mean? It means this. Husband, number one, your prayer life may not be as fantastic as you think it is or you assume it is. Your prayer life, listen up, your prayer life is solely dependent upon the relationship with you and your wife on how you treat her. Who says? God. God is saying, if you're not blessing your wife, if you're not being a blessing to your wife, I'm not going to hear your prayers. That's what the Bible says right here. This is serious business. God says, not going to happen. You cannot mistreat your wife and then come and say, hi, Jesus. He will not listen. He's not listening. Do you mistreat your wife? He's not listening to you. Doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what you think. God says, I'm not going to listen. If you are to be the representation of Jesus Christ in that home, you're to be the provider, the protector, the priest of that home, and you're mistreating her, who's a picture of the church, remember what God did? He told Moses, you misrepresented me before the people of Israel. They're going to get the wrong idea of who I am because they were looking at you. I told you to just tell the people they can drink water. I'll give them water. But you got all bent out of shape and you went over there and you smacked the rock. You yelled at the people and you did exactly the opposite of what I wanted to have done and you misrepresented me. Moses, I love you dearly, but you're not going into the promised land. You're going to go die in the wilderness. And the Bible says that God killed Moses. Did God love Moses?
Yep.
Did Moses misrepresent God?
Yep.
Listen, husbands, your walk is tethered, inseparably tethered, to your relationship with your wife. And God doesn't want to hear from you anymore until you get it right with your wife. And by the way, of course, I'm sure it goes both ways. So we're going to stand right now in closing, and I'm going to say something out loud. You don't have to say it out loud, please. In fact, don't. Just in your heart, in your mind, if this is your decision too, let God hear it inside your mind. And Heavenly Father, we stand here today, and you know exactly to whom, to us, this word fits. We stand here today, Father, and we're asking you to forgive us of our sins, to convict us of our sins. And Lord, where we have misrepresented you to our husbands or to our wives, saved or unsaved, we're asking you to forgive us, to wash us clean, and to empower us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would heal our homes for your name's sake. Father, if there's any mischief represented, Lord, in our lives today, Lord, that we would either A, surrender that to the altar now, or B, you'd rip it out of our lives. If it's a person, if it's a thing, if it's an item, if it's a belief, if it's an attitude, Lord, take it from us like a dentist removes a bad tooth. Yank it out. Because Lord, today we commit our lives with your power and with your help, O Lord, to have our prayers be heard, because you've been good to us, God. And Lord, we have a marriage to live. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4. Glad you joined us today, and you know it's never too late to let God get a hold of your marriage. He is the originator of reconciliation. When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget that we're offering a DVD set on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage. Now, this four-part message is available for a gift of any amount. It is a powerful message that provides a guideline for both spouses on how to be an effective and godly influence in each other's lives. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.